The other challenge is that affects obviously the estimates is the top-down scheduling. So what we saw is top-down scheduling looks at the business objective and looks at a top-down approach when in terms of estimating the efforts. So we saw that although it's a method which gives a very quick result, it is not detailed oriented. So it might give you very vague results while you are actually working on the project. So top down might not be a very good approach when it comes to providing the details. And as we saw while we were discussing the pros and cons of the top-down approach, is that it's bound to give different results. It's good to use that as a starting point, but while during the project execution, it has to be looked at more from an iterative process. So a bottom-up estimate is better because it takes into account the different tasks involved. But most management have an expectation and they start with a time-based expectation saying that I want this functionality to be ready within say 15 weeks or 16 weeks. That's where a work breakdown structure is then retrofitted with the particular timelines of estimates. Now, it's not incorrect on the part of the management because, as we discussed, the management would want to take that particular business objective, solve the particular pain area, justify the ROI or justify the benefits of that particular project and showcase that to the management. So they are not wrong in terms of stating that particular timelines. But what becomes more important from a project's perspective that if it's a genuinely unrealistic expectation, then the project manager or the project owner has to step up and explain to the business owner why it is not possible for this particular project to get delivered, right? So it's good to have a top level estimate or a top level objective from a business owner saying that it has to get delivered within X time frame, but also more importantly, it is important to understand the realistic delivery timelines. So as I said, it's okay to have a high level guidance, but it's a dangerous trend if the management exerts pressure to submit the unrealistic estimates. Although it's maybe it can be termed as a wish list saying that these are the delivery timelines that we are looking at, and that's where the role of the project owner becomes critical to make the business owner aware of the challenges. Maybe you have to work across different time zones. Maybe there is dependencies on, say, global resources who are working in a different time zone. So say, for example, if we are working in India and there is a subject matter expert who comes from, say, East Coast, and there is a time saving, daylight saving time of say 12 and a half hours. That means you have almost a day of gap between how India works versus how US works. So these time pressures or these things have to be taken into account, and these things have to be made aware to the management so that you know they can set up their expectations in a more realistic manner than having something which is absolutely unrealistic. The next is the risk of analogous estimation. So often most projects are done basis say the expert judgment or from the past projects. So maybe the way it has happened in one particular project, you would want to maybe take the same baseline and do an estimation. Nothing wrong in that. The only thing is, while doing a estimation using say the analogous technique, it's important to use that as a baseline reference, but then customize it as per the nature of work. So while picking an analogy and mapping, the estimates might seem like an intuitive thing to do, but it is frequently risky, and we'll look at some of the reasons why it's risky. There are numerous variables in a particular project. Again, as we said, the project that was successful in one particular industry was based on X number of parameters, and the new project is based on say X plus Y number of parameters. So there's a change here. There could be unique dependencies or unique elements which are part of the new project. So like we mentioned, there could be say global subject matter experts involved who might be based out of a different time zone. People involved in both the projects might be different. So in project one, the customer had a different skill set, and in project two, the customer had a completely different kind of skill set. So ensuring that the customer owners are also onboarded, they have the right kind of skill set, they have the right kind of mental acumen to support the initiative is also important. The diverse tools and technologies used, so say here you used some kind of a different framework or tool. So assuming that in one particular scenario you were say hosting the application out of a in-house data center, that is on servers, on physical servers that are hosted in a physical data center which is located in the customer place, as opposed to this scenario in the another project, you are hosting the entire application in a cloud, which is a virtual space using virtual technologies. So the approaches are different, the technology utilized are different. In the cloud world, it can be a lot quicker. In the on-premise world, where you are deploying it on a physical server, it might take a lot of time, maybe because the server is unavailable, the server is crashed, etc., etc. So multiple different technologies, multiple different tools might be involved, or the infrastructure and the resources are different. As I said, in this case, the IT infrastructure was different. In another project where it's a cloud technology where it's being deployed, the kind of tools, framework are absolutely different. And hence, the resources needed to manage and curate this particular data are also different. So these are some of the risks when it comes to analogous estimation. So the case in point is, use the analogous estimate as a baseline, as a reference point, and then build or customize it to fit the new project. And the other challenge that we would look at is ignoring the team capacity. There's always been a lot of debate about what unit estimates need to be provided in. So should we measure complexity, time or effort, or everything should be in terms of only man days? But there's an important, so if we say estimate everything in terms of man days, so what we are essentially missing is the kind of skills or the complexity that gets involved. So irrespective of what unit is followed, many project managers ignore considering the team capacity. So for example, imagine how different people take different amounts of time to, you know, cook the same dish. So the whole point is that say if there are 10 resources or 10 people on a particular project, even if they have the similar skill set. So usually in a project, you would not have people with all the same skill sets, but you would want to have people with complementary skill set. But just for assumption sake, if people on a particular project, everyone has the same skill set and they are asked to do the same job, still you'll find people have different time to code the same stuff, right? And that's because people have a different skill set and still they have and people still take different time. So the whole point is ensuring that the team capacity and the skill set of the team is also taken into account while estimating. It seems obvious that different people would take different times to code, as we said. But when we draw the estimate, we come up with a standard effort estimation. So we all understand that people have different skill sets. So say if we are talking about a Java programmer, you would have a L3 resource versus a L1 resource. Now, the time for a L3 resource to code a functionality may be, say, 10 hours versus a L3 resource who might L3 who is a superior resource might take 10 hours, whereas a L1 resource who is a far junior resource might take 20 hours. But while you are calculating, say, the overall efforts, you would say that the efforts required are, say, 15 hours, correct? Even assuming that you have people on the L3, that is the senior most level, still people would have different times that they would take to code. So these things have to be taken into account. This inherently adds a layer of risk that makes the overall estimate unreliable. So important thing is to understand the team that is going to code, and then provide estimates basis the team capacity. The most important point when it comes to estimation is the scope creep. Now, what do you mean by scope creep? So scope creep generally occurs whenever new changes are added to the scope without revisiting the effort estimation or the schedule. So just overnight, there is a change in the scope, there are new functionalities that are added, that causes change in the overall scope. Unfortunately, it's more common and readily acceptable when the requirements are not adequately documented and signed off. But scope creep is something which is an inherent part of any software project. Maybe because of unclear expectations, maybe because of undocumented business needs, etc., etc., there is some amount of scope that always keeps changing. And the important point is to understand that if this is within the allowable limits, then the project doesn't have any impact. I mean, it has a very minuscule impact on the overall delivery. But if there is a huge scope creep where an entire new functionality is to be added, a new module is to be added, then it causes things that are not things that are not taken well by the either parties. So it is typically the project manager's responsibility to keep an eye on the scope and prevent additional activities from taking place if they impact the deadlines, correct? And that's where the entire discussion or as I said, the important thing is to ensure that you have a well-documented requirement which gets signed off. So signed off from both sides, so the scope creep doesn't come into picture. The next factor that we would look at are the novel features. So having repeated, say, the same task several times, sometimes arrive at a level where you are comfortable with the overall estimates. Because you've built it again and again, it's repeatable in nature. So that's where the learning curve comes into picture. So software products, maybe in some different business lines, have become very complex, and no two projects could be the same. Say if you are looking at say a ready-made software package, like say a ERP tool, a CRM package or something of that sort, then it's kind of repeatable. But say certain application development, which is unique to the customer, it's absolutely different, right? So hence, no two projects can be the same. And in most cases, there will be a degree of novelty. There will be some uniqueness that will be to a particular software project, which will come with its own inherent set of risk and uncertainty. Although the high-level principles, the coding principles would remain the same, things like say user authentication remain the same, things like say integration with payment gateways using APIs remain the same, etc., etc. But always there is some uniqueness in a particular project, right? So if there was no unique element, then everything would have been sold as a package offering. So even if say you have core banking as a packaged offering, it still gets customized as per the particular bank's need. So it there is always a degree of newness or that element of novelty when it comes to software projects. And unfortunately, these risks cannot be easily mitigated because they are unknowns. As we don't know what are say the overall elements involved, because these new things are not known, so these things have to be taken into account, maybe have certain cushion of risk embedded. But the novel features would then require an estimate which has to be a little more lenient, because maybe the time it would take, involvement of a expert on that particular feature, etc., etc. The other factor that affects the estimate is the legacy code. The legacy code represents challenges on many levels. And estimating changes to these codes can be amongst one of those challenges. So, assuming that you have a particular legacy that is an old system that is running, there is a new system that has to come up. So, because it's an old technology, it's a dying technology. And this has to get migrated to a newer technology. Supporting that old technology might also have its inherent challenge in terms of finding the resources that support this old technology, in terms of IT infrastructure that supports this old technology, and so on. And that's the reason why it's written as the first point that legacy code represents challenges on many different levels. On a positive note, legacy code is usually old enough to ensure that there is a certain degree of familiarity when changes are small and isolated. Significant notifications, however, can be daunting to estimate. So, if there are modifications, then again, as I mentioned, things as to how to estimate. Because it's a dying technology, you have the resources, etc. That could be one of the top challenges. The other factor that affects the estimates is the resource efficiency. Resource efficiency can vary with seniority and capabilities. This should be factored in during the project planning phase. So, again, we took an example where so you have Java developers which are at L3 kind of a skill set. So L3 is the top level skill set. Even during the top level skill set, you have to take into account that there could be certain day offs, so staff can also take day offs, or because it's a L3 resource, that is the critical resource, they can be pulled into other projects during emergencies. Maybe there is, say, other administrative work, because these are senior resources. And the management might prefer certain administrative jobs also from them. So these are some of the things that need to be taken into account. Poor production process also impact the delivery dates, allowing them to fall behind the original estimates. And poor performance, if known beforehand, should need to be factored in the project estimates. So as we said, every resource is not the same. The time it takes for one person to code and another person to code might be more. So these things have to be taken into account. Also, some of the small subtle things that day offs or subject matter experts not being available because of other prior commitments and so on, also affect the overall estimates. The other factor is, say, the lack of clarity and the execution strategy in terms of estimating. So, as we said, lack of clarity is considered as one of the top reasons for failures. Unless, say, the requirements are clear enough, clearly documented, signed off, it can be prone to changes. And change in the middle of the project is not good for the overall estimation, right? During, say, the solution design, you need to uncover as many possible issues so that you don't have to make any costly decisions later. Ask as many questions, unearth as many unknowns as possible, and ensure that these get captured. So the execution of particular strategy is absolutely important. Uncertainty involved around the project. So obviously there are uncertainties. So there are two types of unknowns. One, these are known unknowns, and there are unknown unknowns. Now, these are interesting to know. So, example of, say, known unknowns, unclear business requirements. So we know that, okay, business requirements, it could change anytime. Generally, it should not. It has to be clearly communicated, documented in a scope document, and signed off. But there could be minor changes in the business requirement. So that could be unknown. But we kind of have an idea that, yes, there's a business requirement that could change. Changing regulations, we spoke about, say, a particular accounting standard has to be changed. So that's an example, classic example of changing regulations. Legacy code, earlier it was coded in one particular language, it has to be, say, modernized into the new framework. Poor processes or outdated delivery methodologies, and maybe, say, there are certain novel technologies at in the particular project. So things like, say, absolutely new algorithm for machine learning, correct? So these are certain unknowns that we understand are the unknowns. Some absolutely unknown unknowns that are difficult to anticipate. Things like, say, change in organization's priority. So, say, one particular project was absolutely important for an organization, but there has been, say, organization restructuring because of which people have changed. There has been change in the leadership, and their priorities have been different. So, say, earlier project around analytics and, say, machine learning was, say a pet project of one particular chief analytics officer, but in the organization restructuring, there has been a change of guard. The person has been replaced by another person, and the new chief analytics officer doesn't have this particular project on his radar, and it's not a priority. So it's one of the areas which a red flag. Maybe there are certain natural disasters, or if say loss of talent because of attrition, key resources, important subject matter experts leaving. So that's loss of talent which was never anticipated. So that's a clear risk involved. Maybe a lot of say organization going through mergers and acquisition, a lot of organic or inorganic growth where multiple where the organization gets say bought over by another company, and the parent company would want to say have a low priority on say the new projects because of the cost pressures, etc. So these are something that are absolutely unknown, not anticipated at all. So just to summarize, we looked at some of the top challenges when it comes to project estimations. So it's important to recognize that project estimation is not a frozen piece of work. As the name suggests, it's an estimate, right? And the actual effort is certain to vary. Estimation for software development projects presents an exhaustive range of different difficulties. We saw some of the factors that pose a challenge to estimations. Unfortunately, we cannot blame the client for being extra cautious and edgy. So sometimes, as I said, because of past bad experience, they might want to do a micromanagement. Not encouraged though, but you cannot blame the client, right? When clients reach out to a software development company to help them develop a project, they usually have a deadline, and as we said, it's natural for the management to have a timeline associated for getting the functionality live, because they would want to showcase it to their top management and ensure that the business objectives are met. It can be a product or internal deadline. It doesn't really matter, right? What matters is that their success depends on the software development, the company's ability to correctly set expectation and deliver on the promises. So, you know, as we said, management might have a deadline in place, and that's where the project has to get retrofitted. Important to understand and note the role of a project owner and a project manager is to ensure that the expectations from the customer are properly addressed. So if it's a realistic estimate, in terms of the project delivery timeline, then ensure that the project manager has lined up the right set of resources to support. But at the same time, if it seems to be unrealistic, then the project manager has to reach out to the business owners and help them understand the reason why the particular expectation is unrealistic. Idea is to have a collaborative understanding between the two parties to ensure that the expectations are really met and the project gets delivered as promised. So with this, I like to thank you for viewing. I hope the challenges in terms of the project estimation has been helpful to you, and I'll see you in the next class. Thank you.